Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Don't miss out on amazing end-of-sale savings on bedding, curtains and more. Available now in-store or at harrycurry.com.
0818 715 815.
Hello there, a very good afternoon and you're welcome to Liveline. It's John Cook with you until 3 o'clock this afternoon. It's 51551 for your texts and 087-484-8888 by WhatsApp. If you want to get in touch with your thoughts on Big Mac budget for big businesses, as some are calling it, others wondering what's in it for them, ordinary people worse off, the Taoiseach has been told by Sinn Féin in the Dáil there, worse off today than they were yesterday as a result of Budget 2026. What do you think? 51551, Micheál Martin. Rejecting that, he said this budget has had a focus on the enterprise economy, infrastructure, child poverty and disability. Well, what was in it for you? 51551, I'd like to know if you're any better off or worse off today. And if you're in business as well, because we're told this one is focused on business. The VAT cut's the big headline, of course, in the construction sector and the hospitality sector, but not for hotels. Will it be good for rural businesses, as Micheál Martin says, where the local cafe might be the main social outlet? What if the local hotel is the only social outlet in your town or your village or wherever? I'm sure there's some hoteliers in rural areas too didn't feel like they deserve to be left out of the VAT cut as well, because they're not the ones, they would say, price gouging. 51551, I'd love to hear from you. Alistair, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
And thanks very much for joining us on Liveline. Tell me about your business, please.
Well, I own a company called Emerald Guitars. We're a guitar manufacturer based up in Donegal. And we're actually the largest manufacturer of musical instruments in the country. And I mostly export off to the USA.
Mm-hmm. How long are you in business, Alistair?
Well, it's 28 years since I first started building guitars. And the company really exists properly for about 25 years.
Mm-hmm. And what kind of guitars are we talking about, and where did it all come from? Was it from a love yourself?
So we build acoustic guitars. We're very unique in that we build carbon fiber acoustic guitars. So it's made from a very non-traditional material. We build a very technologically advanced guitar, and we're doing it up on the countryside in Donegal. So quite a unique business.
Mm-hmm. And do you employ people, Alistair?
We do. We have 32 employees right now.
Okay. Sounds like a good business.
It is. It's been a great business. It's been a long journey building it up, but it's a very enjoyable and very good business to be in.
Did you feel supported in Budget 2026?
I'll be entirely honest. I've been so busy with dealing with some business logistics and shipping logistics that I actually haven't had time to properly look at what it's going to mean for us just right now.
You're having problems, Alistair. Tell me more.
We're having lots of problems. I mean, it's been a very difficult year, as it has been for many Irish companies that are exporting to the US, just trying to navigate the tariff issue. And we really kind of hit a major roadblock at the end of August. And our main shipping partner is the Postal Service and Post. We've been shipping with them for about 20 years. It's been running absolutely fantastic. But the big change that came at the end of August was they removed the de minimis level of for imports into the U.S. So it means that basically every item that's going into the USA would have to go through a customs process.
Mm-hmm.
And that made a big impact into the postal system. And we were shipping, we ship regularly, almost daily. And the shipments that we've shipped out on the 24th of August all got to the States within 5-6 days, like normal. But we have only managed to have 4 guitars out of 52 arrive in the US since then. Everything has literally ground to a halt, which in turn has almost made our business grind to a halt.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been a very, very stressful situation.
Are you selling directly to American customers, or maybe customers anywhere, Alistair, just based on them placing an order online, or how does it work?
Yeah, I mean, we sell all over the world, and it is all direct to the end user. But 85% of our business goes to the USA. It's been a big market for us. So that's the hardest thing. We have customers that we ship guitars to at the end of August, and we actually don't even know where the guitar is.
So hence these are individual deliveries, packages in going through the post, as you said. Packages worth a lot of money, I think.
Yeah, a lot of money. I mean, our guitars are fairly high value items. And
how much, Alistair? Yeah, could you give us an idea?
Our guitars range from 1,600 euros to maybe 4,000 or 5,000, depending on the specification.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm sure anyone who knows their guitars wouldn't be surprised at that. And those customers that are ordering are very specific as well about wanting your guitar. But that's a lot of money that they're presumably wondering, where's the order? Where are their guitars now?
Yeah, well, they're putting a lot of trust in us. And, you know, and thankfully over the years, we've built up a lot of trust and confidence. And that's what allows people to buy a guitar from the other side of the world. They trust in us. But the difficulty we have right now is we can't give them any answers. And really, it's all down to obviously the difficulty that the tariff situation has put in place. But we have a situation with the Postal Service where, you know, Amposter are putting out a pretty heavy campaign at the moment saying that they're keeping the routes open to the USA despite the tariffs. But our experience is not that. And I think it's probably the experience of many others as well. Okay. A lot of small businesses that are really, really suffering because their flow of goods are not getting to their end user.
We'll come to that in a moment. For music fans and guitar lovers as well listening to us, Alistair, I think the trust you're talking about and that reputation you've built up with your customers, maybe does it come from a few high-profile endorsements, or have you some well-known customers?
Oh, we have some well-known customers over the years, but I'll be honest, the most important people for us are the average people that have put their money down and bought a guitar and then talk about it online.
Humour me. Who's using your guitars that we know and love? Come on.
Well, we've been lucky enough to have some connections with Bon Jovi over the years, and the guitar player from Guns N' Roses, and some of the bands that I grew up listening to. It's been quite incredible to be able to build
that. That can't do any harm, I'm thinking, Alistair, if you're selling guitars and John Bon Jovi's using one.
It's been fun over the years. It's been a lot of fun.
Uh-huh. Well done. It sounds like you've built up a great business, but this is frustrating. When you heard about the tariffs coming, and we're still talking about them, of course, and what they would mean for so many different sectors, would your guitars be subject to a tariff then, or to higher charges going to America as well? Because obviously Donald Trump would like American people to be buying American-made guitars.
Yeah, well, I mean, our guitars are subject to the tariffs in the same way as every other item that's going to the US now. So it's a 15%. And but it's also impacting American manufacturers of guitars almost to the same extent, because it's really crippling the entire chain, you know, from both within and without the USA.
But really,
what we actually did recently, just to smooth the process into the US and give confidence to our customers, was we opened a logistics hub and a retail store in the US. So we now have an Emerald Guitars headline store in the US, which was a massive thing for us. We opened it in August. So now everything that we ship to that store and then distribute on from there. And that really has given much more confidence to our customers. But the problem is we can't get it to our store. We can't get it to our logistics hub. And we could go and use a different partner, but some of the options are going by ocean freight, which, you know, means that it's going to take 40 days for our guitars to get there, or one of the other courier companies that are over double the price. So we had a really good system with Postal Service and Post over the years, and that's where the breakdown is.
Since August, so remind me, these guitars worth 1,600 euro to 4,500 euro. There's the extra 15% tariffs, as you're saying as well. But how many of them have been sent, and how many are you missing now or wondering where they are?
Well, we build about 100 guitars a month. That's our normal production. Out of that, we shipped 52 guitars over the past month. And that's since the 25th of August. Out of that, up until yesterday, most of them were, you know, kind of lost. They were marked as being returned to sender, but had not made it back to us. A lot of them did make it back yesterday. There's still some going as far back as the 25th of August that have not even come back to us. Mm-hmm. And
you got some back, but, Alistair. Was there a reason given? What does it say on the label, or is there any reason for return to sender?
Well, so this is the problem. We've been obviously in ongoing conversation with our area manager over the last number of weeks, and they've done everything that they can to try and resolve this, but they're going then to EVRY, which is the customs processing partner that works with Ampost, and we've got about five or six different excuses or reasons why the guitars haven't been processed. It was, first of all, apparently we had put the wrong tariff code on. That was not the case. Then it was the wrong address, which wasn't the case. Then it was then the recent thing they've been talking about is that the package is the wrong size. There's some new size restriction, but they don't know what that size restriction is. But we've had some items that have got through to the US, so that doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. Then today they told me that it was to do with us having the wrong postcode, but we know our postcode. We don't make that mistake. We can guarantee that the postcode's right. So something is really broken in the system. Something's very broken, and we have now got all these items that we have to somehow get to our store so we can somehow, you know, restock our mm-hmm. store over there, get our guitars to our end user, and you know, people that have waited 6 weeks already, we can't give them an answer today of when they might ever get the guitar. And that's a really bad situation.
Have people paid their money, Alistair, or are they trying to cancel orders?
People have paid. They paid up front. We do have quite a number of people that are saying they want their money back. They want refunds. They've lost confidence. And
it sounds very frustrating, but potentially costly and damaging to your business too.
Yeah, I mean, this is easily the most difficult year we've ever had in business, just trying to navigate the tariff system, and we've navigated it really well until this point. You know, we've done everything that we could to combat it. We've managed to hold strong in terms of our sales numbers, despite the difficulties. But if you lose the confidence of your customers, then, you know, that takes a long time to rebuild again.
That's for sure. It's 51551 or 087-484-8888. If other listeners or businesses out there, as well as dealing with Budget 2026, have issued experiences with tariffs like this as well. We were in touch on Liveline with Ampost regarding the Emerald Guitars query and your issues there, Alistair. And they're sorry to hear of your experience and trying to resolve them. They tell me in a statement that since August 29th, when the US government issued a directive ceasing the long-standing de minimis tax-free allowance for contents or goods less than $800 in value, Ampost has been working round the clock to provide solutions for Irish businesses and private customers posting parcels into the US. It's important to say, they say, the traditional letters, documents and parcels containing gifts valued less than €85 can still be posted without being taxed, provided they have the necessary documentation completed. You can let me know, listeners, what your experience has been there. Liveline at rte.ie. Now, Ampost says the new arrangements for parcels with the US administration are complex. That's for sure, says you, Alistair. The US side were not prepared for this change. The US has also produced a new list of prohibited items, ingredients, raw materials no longer allowed to enter from Europe. Unfortunately, the new arrangements are still in the early stages. Some Irish customers' parcels have been delayed or returned to sender. They're trying to get clarity on precisely how many and exactly what is being prohibited. Some of it unclear. And for the most part, they say the parcel service into the US is working well, but they're working to further improve the service and clarify some of the more complex details and challenges for Irish customers to help keep Ireland trading. And that's what we're told the government wants to do with its budget measures as well. But something needs to be done here, albeit, Alistair, it sounds like there's a lot of confusion on the American side here. What can be done, I wonder?
Well, I mean, the American side is definitely where the source of the problem is, you know, putting that pressure onto the Postal Service at such a short notice. But I think really what's happening here, it's an internal issue that they don't seem to be able to get any answers. I mean, we've been waiting over a week on the answer of what is the actual dimensional restrictions, because they tried to say our guitars were too large and it was a dimension issue. But within a week, they still haven't been able to tell me what that actual dimension is, or, you know, so there's some real breakdown in communication or understanding as to mm-hmm. what is really going on. And, you know, if they can give us answers and say, do this and your items will get through, then we'll do that. And we have made changes on multiple shipments that we've sent out. And still, even the most recent batch that we sent out have come back to us. Yeah. So no matter what we do by their request, it doesn't seem to work.
Yeah, and Paul Stephen's saying the parcel dimension restrictions continue to be somewhat unclear. It's very frustrating, Alistair, and potentially a huge threat to Irish businesses trying to trade with America, I would think. 51551, if you want to get in touch with us on this, listeners and to businesses out there as well, this is somewhere businesses are going to need support, as well as the budget measures. Alistair, will you keep in touch with us and let us know how many of those guitars finally get there, or how this one works for you as well? And thanks for talking to us there in Donegal. Stay with us if you can. For now, Tara is on the line in Newtown Mount Kennedy, I believe. Tara, how are you?
Hi, John. How are you? Thanks for having us on.
I'm very well. Tell me about your business, please.
So we are at Slated.ie. We produce hand-cut slate gifts and personalised gifts. And we produce each piece in a very traditional way using a slating knife. We have a very unique take on our craft.
Mm-hmm. And tell me then, what kind of products are you selling, and where and to who you're selling them to? Does it involve American customers too?
Unfortunately, it does. And we had a lot of stock of. So we create cheese boards, placemats, coasters, candle holders, things like that. And we had we built up over the last years after a couple of trade shows in the States, you know, a nice little network of stores. Unfortunately, not one of them has placed their Christmas order. And when we contact them, it's because of the tariffs.
Wow, that's worrying. So, you were even on the Shopping Channel, I've been reading about you as well. That sounds like things were going very well in America.
Many moons ago, yeah. Yeah, we were doing really well. We were really happy. We did a trade show in Washington, a couple in New York. A lot of work and, you know, money was spent to build up the business. We also have, you know, some very good corporate contracts with the States, but unfortunately they've all disappeared now since August, so we're just left with direct sales, but they've dropped by nearly 89%.
Nearly 89% drop in direct sales and no Christmas orders. How does that compare to this time last year?
It's just, you know, we're probably looking at a good quarter of the business, just with the stock of Salone, and then the direct customers that have ordered. Every single one of them has sent an email of complaint because of the tariffs. They seem to think that we're...
Because they've had to pay more.
Yes, yeah. And I heard what Alistair was saying, and God love him, that those guitars are very expensive. But in our latest piece of information from Post, it doesn't mention the $85 restriction. It just says the removal of the $800 exemption means mm-hmm. that all goods entering the US now have taxes and an administration fee.
That's in relation to goods. In relation, the 85 I mentioned was traditional letters, documents and parcels containing gifts valued less than 85 euro, whereas yours are goods that are being traded. So yes, you're right. This is all since the less than 800 euro allowance, the tax-free allowance changed since August 29th. It sounds like tariffs have been a bit of a disaster for you already, Tara.
It is a disaster. On top of Brexit, you know, it's a disaster that no Irish business wants. It's an awful lot to try to navigate. We're a very small operation trying to deal with customs. We've had a couple of issues with tariff codes as well, but there's only one tariff code applicable to us, so we can't be choosing the incorrect one. Mm-hmm. As Alistair said, I just feel that either the American side or the Irish side wasn't ready because it happened at such speed, and it kind of took them unawares because it was constantly changing and, you know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, the statement I had from OnPost says the new arrangements for parcels with the US administration are complex and the US side were not prepared for this change. What do you say to your customers when they're saying, why do I have to pay more? And I think I take it from what you're saying, Tara, you're talking about a lot less than those guitars. You might have been under the 85 figure we were mentioning there, but they're still having to pay more for products they're buying from you, your slates and your crafts made from slate.
Yeah. And then, you know, naturally, if we suffer delays and then they have the additional charge, it causes reputational damage to the Slated brand because their sales contract is with Slated. It's not with a delivery partner. And then we're having difficulty trying to track it. So you look like you're not taking responsibility for where the parcel is, but you can't find it. Mm-hmm. And then you have no control over the tariff.
Have you had any...
So it is going to...
Sorry, Tara, I don't know if you've had direct contact back with those customer complaints, but I don't know, is there an opportunity to say, ask your president about these tariffs? This is the issue.
We did. We had somebody recently who expressed concern that everybody thinks Americans are rich, but they're not. And, you know, you're caught in that difficult situation where you're trying to answer politely, as we always would, naturally. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, you don't really want to point the finger, even though we all know where the finger should be pointed, at Trump. So you're kind of trying to write, you know, well-crafted, it's not really our fault.
Yeah.
It's your president's fault reply, which can be difficult in itself.
And I suppose you can understand it, Tara. People are just trying to buy a gift, one of your cheese boards or candle holders or something like that for someone. They'll go elsewhere, unfortunately, if it's costing them more or it's taking longer or it's more complicated.
They will, unfortunately. And, you know, we've been very lucky as a brand. I mean, we're in business since 2010. And if people gift something from our collection, they, you know, that the next person sees it, they like it, they'd like to gift again. The personalised gifts, naturally for weddings and engagements, are a huge hit. So they don't see the tariff coming. And we have it written very, you know, plainly. It's in the news section of our website. It's also in the delivery section. So, unfortunately, you know, they just feel the blame lies with the provider of the gift.
Of course, that's it, isn't it? We're all just in a hurry to buy, and even more of a hurry nowadays. It's 51551. And as you mentioned there, not all Americans are rich, they might say. Well, we know that, but we do know as well that we've traded for many years successfully on the fact that they like buying Irish goods for many Americans as well. So I'm assuming this is affecting other Irish businesses, other products and shops that sell lots of craft like yours. Are you hearing that from people?
I have heard from another couple of makers that they're having issues as well. I'm sure there's plenty of them listening out there now today. I'd love to give you a call. Yeah. I mean, it can't just be affecting ourselves. You know, it's anybody who had built up a good trading relationship in the United States at this stage.
Tara, stay with us if you can. It's 0818 715 815. And Philip is on the line as well. Good afternoon, Philip.
Good afternoon, John. How are you? And how are you, Tara?
Hiya, Philip.
You know Tara, do you, Philip?
I do. She does a fantastic slated product. I remember first seeing her product 15 years ago on QVC when she did cheese boards, and it was a great idea. And she's grown from strength to strength. And like herself, I do a handmade product, which I've been selling to America since 1989.
Philip, will you hold for a moment, because I just want to see if we can improve that line. It's 51551 or it's 0818 715 815. Tara, were you on QVC yourself?
I was indeed.
Did you do all that lovely hand modelling, did you? And sort of pointing out your various crafts.
Well, I was slate modelling, so yeah.
No, you know...
It was an amazing experience.
Isn't that what you have to do? You got a point very nicely. I'd say your nails well done for that show, had you?
Oh, of course. Fresh manicure.
Did you enjoy the experience of the shopping channels in America?
It was fascinating. You know, it was an insight you'd never, ever get. The size of it, the scale of it is just phenomenal. And the reach. That's, I think, you know, because Ireland is such a small nation, I don't think we realise, you know, the scale of viewing figures and the purchasing power of these kind of shopping channels, because we don't have them.
Were you nervous, Tara?
And I was very nervous, yes. Because I'd only started the business 6 months. So I was really, you know.
On the other hand, I'm just thinking it must have been such a great confidence boost to you to see the sales coming in and to realise the power of that network, to see how the shopping channels work.
It was, and it taught us so much. Like, we got a crash course in logistics and volume and packaging, and we'd so many brilliant Irish companies help us along the way to give us advice and everything. We couldn't have done it without them. It really, yeah, I think it probably moved us forwards about 3 years business development wise in 6 months.
What's happening to you now, Tara? Is it moving you backwards, that amount, I'm wondering?
Well, the current situation with the States is going to move us backwards, as Brexit
I'm sorry to hear that. Did the budget do anything for you to help? Because we heard from the ministers, from the Taoiseach, from Minister Pascal Donoghue and Minister Jack Chambers, this budget about focusing on the enterprise economy in the face of what could be economic challenges ahead.
To be honest, I feel they're you know, the tax relief for R&D and all of that kind of thing, none of that would apply to myself or Philip. There was nothing in it for small design-led businesses, family businesses. This was really just geared towards the multinationals and the hospitality sector. Mm-hmm. I mean, we pay 23% VAT. We'd love a 9% VAT rate. When we got a 2% VAT rate during COVID, it made a phenomenal difference to bring us back down to 21.
And Tara, do you feel you're going to need some relief like that in the face of this threat that's obvious now from the US tariffs?
I think so. I think they're, you know, I know that they're stuck with VAT rates in relation to the European Union, but there has to be some concession where either, you know, the sales change on it, the exemption rate for VAT, something has to happen, because it's, you know,
okay,
the difference between 23 and 9, I mean, everybody can do the math.
It's slated. Tara, I hope that there's a bright future for your business beyond this trouble with American customers right now in the face of these tariffs. I'd like to know other listeners' views on Budget 2026 as well. What's in it for you? We're back in just a moment. 51551.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1. 0818 715 815.
And it's John Cook with you until 3 o'clock. It's 51551 to get in touch with us, or 087-484-8888 for your WhatsApp messages as well. Because as well as asking you what's in the budget and whether businesses actually feel better off today than they did yesterday in terms of the budget, we are hearing many trading with the States are having serious problems with tariffs, be it Alistair's guitars, 40 of them missing in transit between here and the States, and Tara's slated company there, 89% down on direct orders since last year, and no Christmas orders at all because it's just proving difficult to get their products to America. And Philip, we can talk to you about your situation as well now. What's your business, please?
So the company is O'Gowna Studios. I make chess sets, I do fairy products, and I do personalised gifts in Ulm script. So Ulm, which is an ancient form of Irish writing.
Yeah.
And I've been exporting to the States since 1989. So I've been there, done it. I've had all the problems over the years with the Gulf War. Going back when Saddam Hussein first invaded Kuwait, and I remember thinking, who cares? Who is he? And then all of a sudden, the market just died. Mm-hmm. And then we had 9/11, and we had to survive that. But this tariff thing is just an absolute nightmare.
Is it worse, Philip?
Oh, Jesus, Mary and Joseph, it is. So in very simple terms, our product was zero rated because it's made from Irish limestone. So because of the composition of how it's actually made, we were zero rated for duty going into the States. And then they slapped on to 15%. And we thought, OK, we can get around that because we had the de minimis up till August. Then they bring that in. So I'll give you a very simple analogy. UPS collected from us every day. Like every single day, the UPS guy came in and collected from us. I haven't seen him in the last 6 weeks. Like, that's because the orders have just gone. Like, and we sent one order out with this when the new de minimis thing went, and let's see how this works. So we send it out, and it was one chess set. It was an Irish, a Celtic chess set, which retails for €75.
Right.
So we shipped it over to the States. The customer paid $13 duty. On the 15%, and then they were hit with a $240 brokerage fee.
What?
And they refused it. And I got onto UPS and I said, hang on a minute. I said, the fee for the duty is, and we explained to the customer what the duty was, and they were like, yeah, fine, we're happy to pay it. And So that was fine. So the product went out, and then they were, before it was delivered, they were sent an email to say we want 240 brokerage fee. I got on to UPS. I said, obviously this is an error. I said, the duty is 15 quid or 13.80, I think it was. And they said, no, he's to pay the 240. I said, the product was only £75 or €75. I said, so how can you charge? So in essence, that's been refused. The customer didn't take it.
And you now can understand why, Philip, back. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I completely understand.
But it's cold comfort to your business. What's it going to mean, so? Nobody's going to buy these sets at this price.
Basically, you're getting to the stage now where when you do business in America, most of the people who are, and we've been doing business there for years, and most of them want to know what zip code are you shipping from. So we have a base in New Jersey, which would normally ship from there, but the cost became too high. So we pulled back and said we ship directly from Ireland rather than maintaining costs in New Jersey. So we closed down the base we had in New Jersey and shipped directly from here, and everything was working fine. Mm-hmm. We used both on Post and UPS. And depending on the cost, sometimes UPS are cheaper, sometimes on Post are cheaper. So we would use both of them. And I would have to say, I find on Post amazing. Like, I know there are challenges every so often, but in comparison to everybody else, I think they do an amazing job. And I'll give you a simple analogy with them. We were shipping chess sets to Alaska on a Thursday. And I dropped them to the post office and I said to the girl, when will they arrive? And she says, 5 days. And I said, I don't believe you. And she looked at me and said, I don't care what you're doing. She says, I'm not delivering them. And lo and behold, I was out cutting my grass on the following Tuesday and I got a phone call from a friend of mine in Wicklow. Uh-huh. And he said to me, did you just send chess sets to Alaska? And I went, oh, Jesus, they're either going to Wicklow. I says, I did. I says, why? He said, no, they've arrived. I said, how do you know? He says, oh, it's a shop we supply. He says, I supply the same shop. He says, they just put a post on their Facebook to say the amazing chess sets have arrived from Ireland and we're going to showcase them this evening. And I was actually blown away that it sent by a post and it arrived there.
Yeah, and it's a good point, and it's fair to say as well, but you are worried about complications here and cost as well and what it'll do to your business. Philip, budget? Anything good from the budget for people you who are facing very choppy waters here?
What budget? Like, realistically, we've an accidental economy. Unless we're tech or pharma, they're not interested. Like, small manufacturers in Ireland, I tell you what they could have done, right? For if you take the likes of myself and Tara and the thousands of us who are around the country, who work with our hands, who are labour-intensive, creative people, they could have said to us, you know what, one, we'll increase the VAT threshold to 100,000. So therefore, certain people who don't hit that limit don't have to register for VAT, which saves you an admin. Secondly, they could have turned around and said, well, anything that's labour-intensive or creative is 9%. In the same way the food sector. And that would make a huge difference to us, because what that does is, if I'm selling a product to a store or I'm selling it out to somebody, they have to make a margin on it. So I've got to add 23% on, and then they've got to add 23% on. So it's adding on nearly a third of the cost for actually no purpose. And then we have the administration burden of trying to look after VAT, mm-hmm. whereas most creative people are useless at paperwork. So,
don't put yourself down, Philip, or other people while you're at it.
Let me put it a different way. We don't enjoy the paperwork as much as we enjoy creating the work that we do.
087-484-8888. Connor is on the line in the Crawley Distillery. Is it whiskey you make, Connor?
Yeah. We're a small whiskey distillery up in the west of Donegal.
Mm-hmm. And the tariffs, have they been affecting you as well?
Well, tariffs, yeah, the whole tariff industry in relation to whiskey has been very negative. Mm-hmm. So generally negative in terms of what I was saying is, first of all, product into the United States alone. In saying that, Irish whiskey grew about 2% in
right.
the
US. And we know the alcohol industry were looking for a zero tariff, 0%, or like for like with the alcohol industry going between America and Europe. Are you seeing the negative side of tariffs already, though?
Not so much yet. There's a bit of impact. To say that we only do about 10-15% of our trade into the United States, we're mostly into Europe and sort of going towards the east of the world where the growing markets are. So it's not affecting us all that bad, but it'll be interesting to see this year. But first of all, I don't know if the tariffs will last for the full year, but it'll be interesting to see, will Irish whiskey as a category grow in US next in next season, which they have been fairly flatlining for the last 5 or 6 years. Anyway,
okay.
Most of the Irish whiskey growth is heading east, really.
Okay, you're diversifying as well, Conor, as you say. What about Budget 2026? Any good for you?
Budget 26, I suppose it was a standstill budget. A whiskey industry is about managing capital, so there's been a few pointers there, and we'll have to see when the paperwork comes out, in terms of investment.
Okay, I hope you're good at the paperwork, so because Philip tells me the creators are not, but I'm a bit upset about that on behalf of the creators. 51551 on paperwork, on Budget 2026, on tariffs or anything else at all. Deirdre, how are you?
Hello, I'm fine, thank you.
I hear you're fond of a drop of whiskey. Are you in your Christmas pudding?
Well, yes, very much.
Just to qualify it.
No, I just wondered. Every year I send a pudding or a Christmas cake out to my daughter in San Francisco.
Lovely.
I use Unplussed, and they're fantastic. 6 to 7 days, and the pudding is there in perfect condition. I just wonder, this year will I be able to send it? And I did make it yesterday.
Oh, lovely. I can almost smell it, Deirdre. What's in it?
Yes. Oh, everything. Loads of fruit, cherries, whiskey, almonds, everything. The real old-fashioned Mammy's pudding.
Sounds lovely. And you need to get it in the post fairly early, I suppose, as well. That's why you're getting ahead of time.
Usually I send it usually around mid-November, and it gets there within a week. Mm-hmm.
Now, Mammy's Christmas pudding.
In perfect condition, pardon?
Mammy's Christmas pudding, I'm thinking, Deirdre, is fairly priceless in terms of the smell and the taste of it and the memories it brings back for me and for you and for everyone else as well, and for your daughter, I'm sure, when it goes to San Francisco. So how do you put a price on it?
I usually just send it at around €30 because I value the fruit, you know, that's in it. But it goes in a big, heavy earthenware bowl. Now, it does cost about €60 to post.
50.
But I don't mind. I don't mind that. The airfare would be a lot more. And they get it and they love it. And there's always a video of opening the Christmas pudding. And they share it with their... They share it with their Irish-American neighbours.
Oh, lovely. It sounds really nice, Deirdre. And a very special way to connect, obviously, with family abroad at Christmas as well. Are you getting worried now that things might change this year round? That President Trump might say, no, we got to make the Irish Christmas pudding in America this time round?
Well, I'm just wondering, will it get through okay? I think I'll say... We'll see what happens.
Okay, look, if it's any help to you, Deirdre, Unpost has said it is important to say that traditional letters, documents and parcels, they don't mention the Christmas pudding specifically, but they say containing gifts valued at less than €85 can still be posted without being taxed, provided the necessary documentation is completed at the post office. So good luck with the Christmas pudding, Deirdre. I hope it works out.
Thank you. I'll let you know how it goes.
And let me know if Donald Trump or anyone else tries to get a slice out of it, okay, won't you?
I will. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Deirdre. It's 51551 if you want to get in touch on anything at all today. But particularly we're on about the tariffs and the issues around trading with the States for businesses who have been supported, we're told, in Budget 2026. But what about others? I want to know from you as well, because we've lots of people getting in touch who don't feel that same level of support as well. Owen, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, John. How are you?
I'm very well. And Owen, tell me about your business, please.
So we handmade lighting from historical Irish timbers. So we do it very slowly, and we also make bits of furniture. We make some furniture, statement furniture, and we ship to the States. We ship a fair bit to the States, but we have a couple of issues. Like Alistair, we can ship floor lamps that could be like 2 metres tall.
Right.
So I just wanted to maybe mention him. We have found UPS and DSV very good at oversize. They are very good for shipping big. But tariffs, we just have to tell customers at the outset, look, we don't have any influence over the duties in your countries. But I tell you another thing that we have is we make furniture, and we have 2 dining tables here, and they take us about 6 months to make, because they're made from, well, these 2 are made from the bollards in Dublin Port, laid in the 1700s, 1800s. So you can imagine there's a fair bit of work in that.
Wow.
But they were ordered 3 or 4 months ago. So they were ordered at a price.
Okay.
So I'm not really sure how we're going to broach those kind of issues.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little concerned about that, about, you know, maybe a table that might cost, you know, I don't know, 3,000-5,000 quid. That is now could potentially, with shipping, cost 10. You know, that's, they're definite issues.
You're worried about what's coming down the line. So, well, I wish you well with your packages. They're very large ones as well to America, Owen. But as regards business, budget 2026, anything good for you?
Nothing that jumps out so far. I haven't had a proper look at it yet because as a small...
Okay, small business, right, I think so, Owen is telling us there. Just having a little problem with your line. Do you feel supported, Owen? That's what I'm asking in a small business. We're told that this budget is about enterprise and economy and our infrastructure and shoring up our economy.
Not particularly from the from that side, but I do have to say we get a lot of support from the local enterprise, and the Design Council are very good too. You know, and they're government bodies. So in that sense, we do get the support. They're very reliable and very helpful. And I would recommend people lean on their local enterprise office. We have found them fantastic.
Sound advice, Owen. Thank you very
much. We are a small company.
What's the name of the business, Owen?
We're Copperfish Lighting in Wicklow.
Copperfish Lighting in Wicklow. All the very best to you. And thank you very much.
Thanks very much.
Back very shortly. 51551. We're hearing more of your feelings on Budget 2026 and also the presidential post-mortem at Fianna Fáil's Parliamentary Party meeting tonight. 087-484-8888.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1. 0818-715-815.
And 51551 for your texts as well, because the Fianna Fáil Parliamentary Party is to meet at Leinster House this evening. Already people predicting a showdown over Jim Gavin's recent exit from the presidential race and the process in which he became the Fianna Fáil Party candidate, albeit for a very short-lived time, because polling day, of course, is in just over 2 weeks' time on the 24th of October. His name's on the ballot paper, even though he's not running for president anymore. And Taoiseach Micheál Martin said he'll take full responsibility over what happened, recognising, he said, that the wider membership of Fianna Fáil is hurting over this debacle. Owen, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
You renounced your Fianna Fáil membership, is that right?
Well, I wasn't a member of Fianna Fáil, but I was an avid supporter.
Okay, I'm sorry. Go on. You were supporting them a long time.
Yes, absolutely. And I came from a broader family of supporters for Fianna Fáil. Yeah.
What do you make of all this debacle, as it's called there, this shambles, of, as others have called it as well, this failed presidential campaign for Fianna Fáil this time round?
Well, essentially, I think it was another Google moment. I think it was Micheál Martin's Google moment. I think people have been talking to Fianna Fáil. He rejected democracy, and he was, you know, in urging people to endorse Jim Gavin, I think he should have had a little bit more of a collegiate approach. Got more people on board. Should have run it by a whole lot of other people outside of the parliamentary party. I think he could have gone to the grassroots at some stage. Mm-hmm. He had time. And I think he should have, you know, got a broader perspective. I think it was a very narrow-minded view. No, he may have his own reasons for doing that, but essentially it was a very narrow-minded view. And we see where it has left us now. Mm-hmm.
You say it's his goo-boo moment. Grotesque, unbelievable, bizarre and unprecedented. A major political scandal for Micheál Martin here, you say. But he would point out this was a democratic process, he says, in which the party did back Jim Gavin over Billy Kelleher. And I also heard him on radio this morning saying that, you know, earlier on in the summer when Fianna Fáil didn't appear to have a strategy for the presidency, or not a public one at least, nobody was coming forward, he said, wanting to be president within the parliamentary party. You think he should have asked?
I think he should have canvassed, and he should have got people, you know, the broader spectrum of people should have canvassed. And I think if they did, they would have got a couple of nominees, and then they could have shortlisted that.
Uh-huh. I suppose some of them maybe thought he was going to run as well, because some in the party were thinking Micheál Martin would have been the Fianna Fáil candidate, and a strong one.
Well, not necessarily, but if he was, you know, if the diktat was that a certain person had been selected and now the onus was on everybody to support him, that was a bit of a diktat in itself. And I think that upset a few people. Mm-hmm. And I think that the ratings on Saturday for Jim Gavin were so low that I think they were coming around 15%. And if he had handled it more differently or more effectively, he would have had a better broad sweep of support, and I think that rating would have been much higher.
Mm-hmm. For now, it's down to this parliamentary party meeting tonight, and I think many would love to be a fly on the wall to know what's going to be said or done. But Micheál Martin saying he'll take full responsibility. What does that mean, do you think?
I think what he's doing really is taking cover. I think that it's going to be a big battle. He will suffer some political damage, but I don't think he's going to be ousted at this moment in time anyway. I think that over time it will probably be decided again as to whether he should remain in office or remain in the job of leader of the party, president of the party. But I think for the moment he'll survive. But it'll be like something in the jungle where two animals are head on, and the one that survives might still be carrying a lot of wounds.
Mm-hmm. Survivor of the fittest, isn't it, Owen? But I should point out most of the parliamentary party that have been heard out there saying that there's no question over his leadership at all. Others saying there are questions to be answered because they did feel that they were all contacted and perhaps pressured or frog marched, some said, to support Jim Gavin. But for now, we wait and see.
Yeah, there's a bit of history behind this as well, I think. There's Fianna Fáil has been, has been eaten away from the grassroots, I'll put it that way. And there's a consensus of opinion that the grassroots themselves, their voices aren't heard. You know, the grassroots could mean party activists, party members, enthusiasts, councillors, whatever. They have a voice that they believe, well, quite a big tranche of them believe that they haven't been heard. And this goes back to other issues 2 years ago or whatever. The handling of the immigration issue. Now, I'm not going to get into that because I don't want to be pronounced as something I'm not. But I think that issue could have been handled better.
Okay.
I think there's a firmer view being taken of it in Europe and in the UK. And I think that if Micheál Martin and the Fianna Fáil leadership and the head office had a more, cohesive view on it, that they could have represented that into a political...
Okay, it's one of the reasons that you have turned away from any past support, you say, of Fianna Fáil, that and this presidential campaign as well. The Taoiseach, the government, would point out as well, of course, our responsibility is to accept people from other nations as well. It's an issue and a debate we'll come back to. And Owen, thanks very much for that. 515-51 for your text if you want to get in touch. Peter did as well, and it's 0818-715-815. Did you leave Fianna Fáil or were you a member in the past, Peter?
John, Peter Whelan here in Slane in County Meath.
How are you doing?
I was a member of the local common in Fianna Fáil for many, many years, and I put up posters, gave out leaflets. I was a grafter and all my life a Fianna Fáil man. Now, I left for other reasons back when they got into bed with Fianna Gael, but that was another day, right?
Right.
And I felt that the grassroots in Fianna Fáil were not being listened to. Now, this fiasco has been an absolute disgrace, in my opinion. I'm originally from Dublin, and I think Jim Gavin is a hero as regards football and GAA. Mm-hmm. But I didn't think he was the right candidate, number one, as the president. And the reason being, he hasn't got the political experience for debating. I'm not saying you have to be political to be a president, but it was evident that he couldn't debate when he was confronted. And he couldn't, and not only that, Fianna Fáil or Fianna Gael, the way they blocked any other candidates from coming in. And I think I blame Micheál Martin and Harris for the fiasco that we have now, that just two candidates. It leaves me with not one person that I want to vote for. And I've never spoiled my vote before. And I'm seriously considering writing Maria Steen's name down on the ballot paper.
Okay, and many people said this to us in recent weeks. I don't think it's something you'd take lightly, though, the idea of spoiling your vote,
no,
Peter, someone as passionate about politics in the country yourself.
Absolutely. Our forefathers fought to have that vote. And you know, I can't see. I'm not encouraging people to spoil their vote.
Mm-hmm.
I find it very hard if I'm out having a pint and I'm asked, because people know I'm politically, you know, motivated, and they say, Peter, what are you going to do? And I can't tell them. Like, I can't. You know, there's not one candidate in the race, and I don't want to be personal. There's two very good, you know, people, and
yes,
they've served politically,
yeah,
and I'm not going to be disrespectful. But from a personal perspective, we had a lady there and a few others. One, the name was Maria Steen, a barrister, very
okay,
well educated.
Not on the ballot
might
paper.
Be everyone's, yeah, not on
Jim
the ballot
paper. Jim Gavin's name is. Did you put up any posters for him, or were you doing any of that in recent times?
No. I've cut my ties with Fianna Fáil. But
have
I know
they cut their ties with Jim Gavin's posters in your area, or are they still up on the poles around there?
No, I didn't see too many of them up, to be honest with you.
Uh-huh. They were outside Leinster House for the budget, even. I think many people will still see them around there. It certainly is embarrassing, Peter. What does full accountability mean and responsibility? What should Micheál Martin do tonight?
Well, it's not what Micheál Martin should do. I think it's what the parliamentary party should do. The people who voted in the Fianna Fáil TDs, right, they didn't vote. The reason I left Fianna Fáil was because I wasn't being listened to. It's the grassroots members, right? So it's the grassroots members need to get onto their local TDs before this evening and tell them, we gave you a vote. We did not want, and I know I speak because I speak to a lot of Fianna Fáil people, they did not want Jim Gavin as the candidate. No disrespect to Jim, a gentleman. But they did not want him as the candidate for Fianna Fáil. Billy Kelleher put his name down. He was snubbed. He was Bertie Ahern, with all his faults, a statesman, negotiated the Good Friday Agreement. At least we know his past, the mm-hmm, troubles that he had. He would have been able to discuss them on the television.
And
so
he wanted
Fianna
to.
Fianna Fáil had plenty. Yeah, and I think it was disgraceful the way they treated that man.
Too late now, Peter. Too late now. It's all done and dusted. Or what should Micheál Martin do next? What can come out of it other than mea culpa?
Well, knowing the man, he'll try and ride it out. He thinks that the budget will help. You know, people might take. I think the fact that it's the number one item on the agenda uh-huh, ahead of the budget says it all. But I think it's not really Micheál Martin. It's the parliamentary mm-hmm, members. And every person who feels, you know, aggrieved should get onto their local TD. Thomas Bourne is our one in Mead East. Ring Thomas Bourne.
You're going to be telling him. You're going to be telling him. Very briefly, what will you tell him about the budget? Was there anything in it for you, Peter?
No, I'm a small business operator. There's nothing in it for me. I get up early in the morning, as Leo told me to do. I go to work every day and I pay my taxes. I have the diesel has gone up. Everything has gone up. I don't have a medical card. And if I'm out of work, if I don't go to work, I don't get paid. And if I'm out, if my business was, the rug was pulled from under me tomorrow, I don't even know do I get social welfare. That's another. I don't want to go off on a tangent.
Okay.
But the single, I was listening to some of the very good crafts people earlier,
yeah,
and they'd be in the same category in a small little business, and we're left isolated. Now,
do you feel any better or worse off today, Peter? Finally.
Worse off because the price of fuel and electricity and that
okay,
has gone up and I didn't get any extra money.
51551, if other listeners want to get in touch, I want to know how you feel about the budget today.
Get in touch with Liveline on 0818 715 815.
And it's 51551 for your text, because while it's been fascinating to find out about the struggles businesses are going through in terms of tariffs and trying to send their goods to the States over the last month or two, and I'd like to hear more of it, liveline@rte.ie. I do want to come back to how people are feeling about the budget that was the Big Mac budget for big businesses, many said, but what about ordinary working people, many of whom feel worse off today, according to the opposition, than they did yesterday? Colm in County Cork. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My problem with the budget is that I estimate I'll be 45 euros a week worse off, which will make for 2,300 a year.
You'll be down 2,300 euro a year, you feel, or you've calculated, because of Budget 2026. How so?
Well, the price of everything has gone up, all right?
Yeah.
And my property tax is going to go up, my petrol has gone up, my food has gone up in price, and the government decided that I could live on that much less, because it will cost me that much more a week to live. Now, that's not including out other expenses, like as long as I stay healthy and all, mm-hmm. I'll be all right.
I hope you do, Colm.
I get a bit upset sometimes when I have the Taoiseach on the radio at lunchtime say how he likes to go shopping and all that kind of thing. Well, if I had 5,400 a week, I'd love to go shopping as well.
Mm-hmm. Are you cutting back on what you buy, Colm?
Sorry?
Are you cutting back in what you buy?
Of course I have to cut back.
In what way?
I live alone. I have one pension coming into the house, and therefore I am, when there was two of us living in the house, there was an extra pension coming in, and in replacement of that 260 quid a week, the government gave me £22.
The living alone allowance, €22, yeah.
Yeah, €22 now, I know. So when the Taoiseach says he understands on 5,400 a week, I can't see how he can understand. And if you look at ordinary TDs, they're all on, what, 150,000 a year? The whole lot of them have no idea what they're talking about.
You don't feel they're in touch with your needs, or they're aware of your shopping bills?
Well, I'd like one of them to volunteer and spend a month living in what I have to live in. Mm-hmm. And then I'll believe them, and then they'll know what they're talking about.
What would be the biggest shock, I wonder, that someone might get in that situation, Colm? Are there basics you've had to cut back on?
Well, heating will be, well, that's, forget about that anyway. I have electric heaters in the house, but I can't afford to turn them on.
Are you cutting back so, or keeping the house a bit cooler, or wearing your coat, or what?
I wear extra clothes. Mm-hmm. So the state has decided that people living alone, well, the sooner they die and give over the house, probably.
I don't think I'd put it that way. I was just going to ask you the fuel allowance. Do you get that, Colm? Because they're increasing it and giving it for longer.
I know they're giving €3 extra. My God, they broke their heart. Uh-huh.
It's not going to make you take off the jacket, is what you're saying.
Yeah, but what I'll get extra in the budget in money is €13. Now, anybody with a small bit of common sense that they know would know that just the basic food price is more than €13 a week.
Mm-hmm. And you're worried about the energy bills without energy credits. How long are you living alone, Colm?
Well, 6 months.
Mm-hmm. What happened?
6 months. My wife, that's private, but anyway, she's in a nursing home now.
Sorry, and I respect that as well. I just wonder how you're getting by, so it's a big life change, isn't it?
It is, and I need a car to go and visit her, mm-hmm. so that my petrol has gone up, my car insurance has gone up, my property insurance is going to go up, and they're both due in January. But I suppose the credit union is always there for us. Mm-hmm. I go down and plead for a few, Bob.
Uh-huh. Colm, fair play to you.
Yeah, but I think what's disgraceful is that these people, I think they've all lost touch with reality, because there's millions here and there's millions of that and there's millions for everything else. But in the real world, where you have to go shopping, which the Taoiseach was brought up himself, but the Taoiseach doesn't understand. He's on 5,400 a week.
You're watching his figures and working out figures there as well, closely as well. Colm, thanks for joining me today. 51551. My best to your wife as well, Colm, and I hope you stay very healthy to liveline@rte.ie. Anne, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you doing, John?
A lot. I'm well, and how are you?
I'm hanging in.
Is that how it feels after the budget?
Well, to be honest, as a disabled person, that kind of feels like it. How it is a lot of the time, in terms of exclusion and the failure of the government to really recognise and, support disabled people to fulfil their rights under the United Nations Declaration. Mm-hmm. And I just want to say that the government recently did this I'm a bit nervous. So words won't come to me when I get nervous.
Okay, Anne,
the disability strategy.
Take your time, And they talk about wanting to support people in their homes as well.
They do.
Yeah.
And they made a commitment in that strategy to bring in a cost of disability payment. The strategy covers the years 2026 to 2030. So they made a commitment to that. I'm going to read you just the line, because it says that all government departments are to develop and implement whole-of-government solutions, including in relation to the enhancements of services, et cetera, et cetera, mm-hmm. and that they will include in that the cost of disability payment. But they haven't even acknowledged it. They haven't even mentioned it. It isn't anywhere in it, which gives them 4 years. To do what they said.
Okay,
they would
because
do.
They
but
said
so,
they,
but to,
they
to
are
be getting
committed.
All of the,
yeah, they recognise it. That there's
committed.
Additional
yeah.
costs for you. Just can't do it right now in this first year. We've a 5 year term.
And see, I don't buy that, because when you look at, and I don't begrudge either the small businesses or the other people who were talking. I don't begrudge any help
of
anybody.
Course.
You know, gets that's you know that's all legitimate. But if you look at where the money in the disability monies in the budget is going, according to the what they were saying, is it's mostly to Section 38 and 39 organisations, which are kind of the service provider type organisations, to fund more residential places and more day places.
Mm-hmm.
But in their strategy, they commit themselves to the right individual supports at the right time, and they often also talk about the right place. But the right time, the right place isn't a residential place for me. The right thing is to provide me with a cost of disability payment that allows me to get out of my house. Without that kind of thing, and without proper PA hour support, I'm essentially locked in my house, and I'm not the only one to be in this position.
You can't get out of your house.
No, because the physical structure, just mm-hmm. within the town where I live, getting in and out and going around, I mean, I can literally get out of the house, but to get down to the local shopping centre is a hugely circuitous route, because all those like lips at the side of the road, you know, those slants are they're not properly done. And, you know, or you have a lip that goes down one side and then there's nothing to meet you on the other side. So you kind of have to, you know, do dangerous things with traffic.
Yeah, I know, I know. Now, there's a lot of improvements in that regard. Maybe not where you are, you're telling me, Anne, or not
there's
enough.
There's not enough.
Yeah.
There's not enough. And the bottom line, too, is that they're talking about, you know, when they're saying, when I'm listening to them talk, the ministers have been saying, but we've given like an extra 10 euro, so that will help, you know, and we'll stop people being at risk of poverty. But what they're not talking about is that we're not at risk of poverty, we're in poverty. And 10 euro a week, for me, my ESB is about to go up by 18 euro a month, so that basically takes care of, you know, two of the 10 euro payments.
Yeah.
The other two will be spent in taking a taxi to and from my GP, which costs me about 30 euro round trip, and which you could pretty much depend that I'll need to do once a month. That's that 10 euro disappeared. And that's where the extra cost of disability comes in, because my electricity costs are higher because I'm home more, and my transport costs are higher because there isn't public transport to my GP from where I live. So that's that. Gone, and it just does make me wonder where is the commitment? They do a lot of really good deflection in saying, yes, we understand your question and we really feel for you, but look, we did this great thing over here, you know, we have the biggest budget we've ever had, etc., etc., but I'm no better off, nor have I been any better off, you know, in most of the budgets last year. There was, you know, maybe 1,400, 1,500, I think, which was really brilliant. But they were very clever to do it as a one-off payment, because it meant there's no permanent commitment to a cost of disability.
Well, they're
payment.
Saying they...
It's
they,
not looking
they,
for money it, for nothing, John. It's looking for it so that I can participate in society on an equal basis.
They will
to
get to us, they're saying, 5 year term. But Anne, that's a long time if you're trapped in your home.
Yeah, and it's not
I'm
a 5 year term
that.
Because they've been in power for like, what, 10, 12 years now, one way or another. This is not a 5 year term, and it's too easy to deflect and say, next year, we'll see to disabled people next year. Mm-hmm. Well, we've been waiting and waiting and waiting, and they've only just signed up to that last optional protocol on the declaration. So now we can actually take into the UN, you know, in terms of, you know, challenging what they're doing and saying they're not fulfilling their human rights responsibilities. But I don't see any human rights essence in terms of disability and this budget.
It's an issue I want to talk to you about again, I hope, before too long. And thank you. No, thank you so much, Anne. There's lots of people getting in touch, but it's so important to hear from you on that. And thank you so much for setting out
your
position and I think reflecting the situation for a lot of people with disabilities. As Anne said, they're trapped in her home and needed greater recognition for the additional costs she faces. Laura, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon, John. How are you?
I'm
I
well.
I hope I can make my point as good as Anne did there. Fair play to her. She said she was nervous, but my God, she got her point well said.
She was a great speaker, but Laura, I've every faith in you as well. Go right ahead.
Oh, God, I hope I do the same. But I suppose, look, she is speaking about people with disabilities. So today, I'm speaking on behalf of my father, who is the person with the disability, and I'm his full-time carer, as his child will say. But I'm employing a full-time carer, so that my dad can remain living in his own home, a bit mm-hmm. like what Anne was saying there.
I understand.
And yeah.
So and you're working now, and you're obviously full-time carer every other hour of the day as well with your dad, but you need someone to help out, obviously.
Yeah, and actually the full-time carer allows my father to live full-time in his own home.
Great.
Independently with that support, and doesn't need to go to a nursing home, can mm-hmm. stay living in his own home for as long as possible, quite independently, once that care can live there 24 hours,
uh-huh.
you know, 7 days a week. And it's an absolutely godsend for us as a family.
And that's what he wants. I'm thinking, Laura, from the way you're talking. So well done for making that happen.
Definitely.
But how much does it cost?
Yeah. So, like, the cost to us, because the minimum wage keeps going up, and it sounds like small businesses are affected for sure, but it affects me directly. Like, I'm an employer, but I'm an employer of one person, you know, and we think of employers, we think of massive organizations or, you know, small businesses that may be employing 20 or 30 people, but I'm also an employer mm-hmm. of one person, but I'm also an employee myself.
I see your point.
I have to pay my own bills.
And the minimum wage from January going up by 65 cents to 14.15, which is good news for people on the minimum wage, but can you afford to pay it?
Well, exactly. Do you know what? The minimum wage, when it goes up, it affects everybody, because we all end up paying one way or the other across the board. Like, even to buy a coffee now, you need at least a fiver in your pocket, which, you know, it just shows you, it mm-hmm. just goes in every direction. Nobody benefits from this long term. So, like, it's putting, like, the likes of the small person like myself, having to pay somebody's wages while also working myself. The minimum wage directly affects me. Okay. It's just, and I'm just one voice. And we are a silent majority in this country, actually, because we're silent because we don't have the time to speak out.
We're hearing you now, Laura. Thank you so much. Well, you did speak very well. You raise a very interesting point as well.
Thanks for giving me the time.
And Laura, well done for caring for your dad so well too, and honouring his wishes to be at home. It's not easy to do. 51551, my best to him as well. And to all of you out there, I wonder, Laura says the price of coffee, you need a fiver. Will that get any cheaper if the VAT rate is lower for your local cafe, I wonder? Or am I missing the point there? Let me know. Liveline at rte.ie.
Get in touch with Liveline on 0818 715 815.
And Terry, I've about a minute or two left. Tell me your situation, and did the budget help?
Absolutely not. It's probably finished our business.
Finished your business? What is your business?
We're a fuel retailer on the border. We spent the last year going to meetings with government agencies and being told about back in business and whatever else. The carbon duty now is going to push, along with the biofuels coming in January, there's going to be a 32 cent difference between unleaded, between the north and south, and about 22 cent of a difference between diesel. So realistically, our petrol station's no longer viable.
So people in your area, where are you exactly, Terry?
We're on the Ballyshannon-Bleak border, so Fermanagh and Donegal.
Yeah, people are going across the border for their fuel, and you can see why. You think that's it? They're just going to continue to do so. What could the government have done for you briefly and finally?
Well, we assumed that when they said that there was no more handouts for electric and whatever else, that there was going to be a reasonable cut to maybe fuel duty or something on energy, or but that hasn't materialised. So realistically, we can't continue.
Terry, I'm really sorry to hear that. And if that's a decision you're making, I hope it's not yet. I hope it's not all done and dusted, but we will come back to talk to you about that again. It's where I have to leave it for now. I want the VAT not helping out Terry or other businesses there. I want to know what listeners think of that. Liveline at rte.ie, and we might take up the conversation on tomorrow's programme. Today's was produced by Owen McLaughlin. Thanks to Lee Mullen on sound, Richie Byrne, researcher, and to Laurie Davis as well, our BCO. Thanks to you for getting in touch. From me, John Cook, and all the Liveline team. Have a lovely afternoon.